holy thing. And so now, Lord, use me in whatever way you serve me, God. And if there be anything about me that would keep your people from seeing you, and I ask, Lord, that you hide me behind the cross, because I am not worthy of anything, but you are worthy of something. It is in the name of Jesus, our Savior, that we pray and give all praise. Amen. That's one thing about miracles is that even if you're not a believer, because you're born physically, you're born mentally, but you're also born with a spirit. And that spirit, we'll say a little bit more about this, but a mirror, it longs for something that it can't get you, not your flesh, but it longs for the greatness that only God can give to the individual. And the only time you can really understand that is when you get born again. Everybody wants a miracle in their life. You just raise your hand. But I have to ask you what the miracle is, because you have a great idea of what is needed in your life and so forth. But that time when only God can do something for you, that only God can bring in, that only God can come out of nowhere and turn my situation around and make it better for me and for those. I think if you ask a person about any of the physical portions that mean the most to them, they would probably say the miracle of all Bible. But the miracles of Jesus probably stand out to us the most. The power over nature, he said, in the calming of the storm. If you want to take a picture of these things, you can. Luke 8, 23 through 24. The feeding of the 5,000, right with it, is better than McDonald's on that day. Yeah. And that wasn't around there, so the New York miracle of that little kid who gave up his fish sandwich. And Jesus took it and laid it up to feed 5,000 people. He parted with his lunch. I looked at him 5 years later, and I always got to get that hand. Walking on water. 14:23-32. These stories resonate with us because we can see the hand of God. And here's the one we that are copying. If you want to, and they follow you, take a picture of that screen and you can be able to look up those verses. Or you can go online and you can take that and you can just return it to you. Again, so. Jesus, some of the miracles of Jesus, the power of nature. Healed. Anybody need to be healed this morning? Or you've been healed. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. I hear what anybody says. I'm a witness that when God breaks in and heals you, and the student doctors are not, I don't care. Healing will make you say, thank you, Jesus. I've seen your hand in this, and I'm glad you showed up. The man with leprosy, Matthew 8:1-4. The man with the shriveled hand, Matthew 12:9-14. The crippled woman, Luke 13:10-6. Young people, you may not have had a sickness that is so bad that you ask God to heal you. If you live long enough, you will experience something because our physical bodies are deteriorating. Yours is young now, but it Another one. you in the presence of his God. And he died last night. And the first person that got to the house was not somebody from the school, not somebody encouraging me, but somebody saying, yo, I'm saying, oh, I'm not yet. And I have come. Well, I have come in to take your two stuff. That's good. What do we need to do? To train our eyes. You know, it's sort of like, I'm not a microbiologist by any means. I don't know anything about biology. But I do know I can see you. But if I was a microbiologist, I can see things about you you can't see on yourself. I can see little things crawling on you.
You might not look so pretty there. And every one of you look good, but
you see that person has training. They have training that I don't have. And they can see that I'm saying that God says through his word, I'll help you to save me doing little things so that you praise me every day for the miracles that I'm doing, not only in your life, but for the miracle of doing in life. All around. And he gives us four examples. The first one, God's little miracles come through the little things I have. Sometimes you have a little stuff, though. Sometimes you have a little that you got something that's worth something to your life, value, and you don't realize that. Well, in our text, we see it very clearly. You mentioned, well, I'm sure, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? In other words, what do you have in your possession? Your servant has nothing there at all, he said, except a small jar of olive oil. Now, olive oil was very, very precious back during the time, because they used it for lighting and for food and so forth. So even a little bit of it would have had some value, but in our eyesight, it would not pay the debt of these two young men up first. And what I'm saying to you is that God can take the thing that you do not expect, the thing that you were not even thinking of, the thing that you had put away somewhere, and can perhaps use it to be a miracle in your life today, or a miracle for somebody else. I'll never forget when we got ready to retire. And somebody had told us, our neighbor had told us, different, he's passed way down. He's been our neighbor for 25 years. And he said, Lord, he said, you're going to be retiring in 3 years, right? I said, yes, 3 years. We're going to be retired. I like to say prefer. We're going to do what we prefer to do. That was fine. And so he said, well, one thing you want to do, you want to pay off your house. As you say, on the house you had in California. Up from New York, we didn't even know how. So we came out here, and you know, house hundreds of thousands of dollars. I said, how do you pay a house? He says, look, you gotta keep dwindling down that threshold. So you don't want to retire and still have a mortgage of $3,000-$4,000 in life. And so we started dwindling down on the principal. And I mean, we started dwindling. Every penny that we got extra, anyway, when it came time for us to retire, we were about, maybe $50,000 short of $100,000. How are we going to come up with $50,000? We didn't even have the first 50. We've been throwing everything out. We had to stop eating, you know, to be able to get this money. And we found some life policy to get out. One was a whole life policy that cashed out for $35,000. I am not making this up. Cheryl will verify it. $35,000. And then a church that knew we was retiring said, we want to bring our whole church over, a large church over in Fairfield of about a couple of thousand people. They packed us out on that day and said, we want to give you an offer because we heard you never had a free offer. And so they gave us 17
You can say what you want to say, but share what I would say. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, we see you working. We didn't realize it when we put that money in that whole dollar account. We didn't realize it that that money was going to grow and we were going to be able to pay it out tax-free at this particular time. Don't ever put God down for the little something. For the little something that you have. And you know, it may not be money. Maybe a little education. Maybe a little bit of stress. Sometimes, especially for those who are not saved, having the Holy Spirit in your life. If you remember correctly, when this woman went to the religion, what did she say? She said, you remember my husband. He's in your class. He goes to your school. You know, that would have been my school. I would have said, well, what happened to you? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know the power of God in a tough situation? Do you know what God can do when you're down to nothing? But when it seems like your kids might be taken away, because I have been there before, that were our children were going to be taken away from us. But I've been there before when our children were frightened. And I've seen the hand of God in our land through the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't even have to have anything for the Holy Spirit's work. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is there inside of you. And so this woman, her first step toward the knowing the little miracles is to realize I need the one who can do big miracles living inside of you. Can I get a witness? Your witness, your spirit, your flesh spirit is not strong enough. Your flesh spirit is not wise enough. Your flesh spirit will not help you in times like this. Because in times like this, it is not you working, it is God working, and what he wants from you is a praying for his holy word. We were reading about Moses today at the Red Sea, talk about miracle judgment. Deacon Brenda, I don't see him right, oh, there she is right there. She was teaching the class, she did a great job, and she stopped about the 15th chapter of Exodus, and she said, and the first thing that they did when they got across the sea, they started singing. I don't know why they started singing. I know. They're praying God to throw out of slavery. We don't have to work for nothing anymore. You see, that's what happens when a miracle comes in your life. You start praising God. Can I get a witness? So even if it's a little bit with you, you know, I woke up this morning, praise God. You know what I'm breathing this morning? Praise God. I may not be able to walk like I used to, but I've got strength enough to get where I've got to go. Praise God. You don't do that if you don't know Jesus. You don't praise God when you don't know Jesus. You've got to give him some of everything else. So when you know Jesus, you get down on your knees and you thank Jesus for everything. I started much more than Cheryl and I had gotten older. Every now and then, the first thing she does is she wakes up in the morning. Sometimes I don't like to wake her up. And she has to be sneaking out, darling. She goes to another room, you know, to do devotion. So she said, we need order. We haven't had friends yet. And I'm going to miss that when that time comes. And it melts up. Because it's coming to touch everybody. But it makes me so appreciative of the miracle that God has given us in 53 years of marriage. Some people just disregard. Yeah, I've been married, sister. Or I've been married to the old lady. I've been married to the old guy. You know, no, that's my woman right there. That's my gal right there. And she's fine and she's mine. And that's my miracle. I know I don't deserve it. I know I don't look like I should have. But God told us up to give her the gift. Yeah, I get a witness here. For the little thing. For the little thing. Number two. God's little miracles can come
sometimes the people that we look down upon, other people that we think don't have enough education, other people that we think don't have enough money, we treat differently. And that might be the very person that God works in spiritual food for you. Or you got a couple of kids, and one comes real good, a real smart, and you treat them better than you treat the other one. And sometimes it's the other one that takes years. It does put you in a nursing home. And y'all over here too. Treat them all the same. But I'm saying to you, because you don't know what you want to need. Always tell people, and I'm so glad you all demonstrate this about Luciani, how much you take your children here and show them things that have been around you. And they are going to appreciate that. They may not appreciate it as much now, but they will appreciate it when they become adults and start having their own children. And they will show you in ways that are beyond. This is the truth on that. And it's about people demonstrating that. We miss you when you're not here saying three things like that. But we would be grieved to say, that's your first church. That's your first church. We came in the middle of that. You take care of your children. Nobody's going to take care of your children. But you are supposed to. It is in you to do it. You're the miracle that God has given to them. They may not appreciate it right now. They may not say anything about it right now. But one day they will turn around and they will honor their brother. God knows miracles can come to those people he's expecting. Look at what Elisha said. He says, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Now, I don't know about you, but I did that. You know, because jars are sort of like empty bowl bottles back there. You know, and even our little bottles, you can see these kind of jars that they use to fill and put oil in. So you're going to go to all your neighbors and you're going to say, you got any jars? You know, it's like the people home. You are collecting the bottles and they got these big carts and everything. Huge carts. And they're going to take it to the recycling place and they get like 25 cents for a cart. You know, this is what it would be like if God said, don't look at anybody and say, you know what, there's nothing you can do for me. There's no way that you can help me. There's nothing that you have for me. But God says to look at everybody, because you never know. Someone used to say, be careful how you treat people for that. Because you're going to meet the same people on your way down. And there is a down and up in life. Everybody goes through something. And you never know who's going to help you. And that's a little miracle for you. You know, when I look out at our audience, they just look more people than you have. They look a lot. And I want you to say, we can just stand in the aisles. I ain't always going to show up. I didn't know Steve and Rodney were going to show up today, but I didn't know the others were going to show up. Really? It's going to happen. It's a miracle. Amen. There's been some times, hear me well, there's been some times when it's only been like maybe 10 or 15 of us in the mix. And the music industry was played like an ocean. And I preach, I hope, like an ocean. Why is that? Because I believe that God can use us in spite of our territory. All I'm saying to you is we don't overlook anybody. We don't overlook the people working in this community. We don't overlook the people who come here and may not have the car you drive or live in the house that you live in. We look at everybody with respect and expecting that God can use them to be a miracle for somebody else, including the living old fellowship. Can I hear you? Number three, God's no miracle comes through a little effort on my part. You know, there's no need, I've learned a long time ago, there's no need to tell me, God gives you something and you're not willing to do something. You're not willing to put in some work. You think you need something, or you think you have a need, go inside this religious office and shut the door behind you and your son. Pour oil into all the jars and the pages filled. Put it to one side. She left him talking about Elisha and shut the door behind her and her son so there's nobody in there with her and her two sons. And they brought the jars to her and she did what? She kept pouring. Everybody had a job. Y'all don't see it. Your job was to do what? Keep bringing those jobs. But it doesn't look like this much job. Keep bringing those jobs. Why? Because the man of God said to keep bringing those jobs. And I don't just keep on pouring. The Father God, I don't inspire you. You know what I mean? I don't just keep on pouring. I don't just keep on doing my part. You don't have to do my part. You don't have to do your part, but everybody has a part to play. You are missing a miracle. But they let you know. I got to say, you're going to start doing my will. You might as well clap on that. You might as well. There's nobody here who's going to have a part. Yours may not be the same. Yours may not be a preach. Yours may not be a lead to prayer meetings. But everybody, every man, woman, boy, or girl in this church has a part to play. And if you don't put forth any effort, then you should not expect to see any results. You'd be like the man who says, you know what, I keep waiting for my orange trees to grow. I don't get any oranges. And somebody asks you, well, did you plant any orange trees? No, I've got orange trees out here. But I just thought any kind of tree will give you oranges. No, you only get oranges from orange trees. You laugh because you know that's true. You got to work on the right day. In other words, you can't say, I go to church. But I work on, you're not building any home. But I give to the church on the other side of town. But I give to the church, you can give online now. Some churches, but you don't give to the living home church, which is your church. You see, this is the church that you've got to put that effort into, if it is your church. Am I making sense? See, how many want to see the miracle right here? How many want to see the miracle right here? Well, then you have to admit to yourself, I gotta go to work. Look at somebody, don't go to work. Some years ago, I had a young couple to come in to see me, the counselor. And I could tell that they were mad because, you know, how those couples are in love, you know what that doesn't look like. You know, I mean, they'd just be all over the place. Some of these two, I mean, they were like, I said, well, tell me something. I know you told my secretary you want to see me for marriage counseling. And the woman spoke up first. She said, I'm done. I'm through with it. Look at him. He's sitting there with his big old fat stomach rolling over the top of his head. That's all he does is sit there and look at TV and channel surf all day long, and I'm sick of it. Then she spoke up and she said, I'm sick of her too. Look at, she never takes a role out of the half of me. She never gets dressed up and I got a sweat position heading in church here. She never puts on any shoes for me. I am done with her too. I'm not being funny. But I can't help you if you don't want to put it anywhere. You see, there's one thing about the miracle. When I'm working, God can come in at any point. And it takes a lot of work to keep on working, take my effort.
even when the body says you can't do anymore, even when it feels as if you don't want to take one more step, you're going to give out. That's when God can do his greatest work. How do I know that? Because he says, when you are weak, that's when I am strong. When you are about to give up, that's when I step in. The power and not the power that I have. As a matter of fact, my power is immeasurable. I know I have the battle on the hill. But I need you to do your part. How many of you today feel like revival? Is that I'm going to do my thing? You know, I believe that you got some brothers and sisters here that need to hear you. They need to get excited about that. Because that's how church is now. Everybody gives it up on everybody. And everybody stops doing their part. And I'm saying to you, I don't believe that they hold this there. And I don't believe that my God brought us here. But God is going to be here for the hours that he did. So that we might give a great praise to God and say, look at the miracle that he is doing. Not just over there, not just with those thousands of them churches, but right here at Living Hope Fellowship. God is working. God is working. James 1:6-7. He says, but when you ask, you must believe. And that doubt, because the money doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person does not expect to receive anything of the Lord. How many of you expect the Lord? How many of you expect the Lord? How many of you are expecting the miracle? Last one. Now, what's the last one? They are free to hear. They love the word of God. And so they make sure I give them every point. I can say that I was doing it. You said I wanted the word to. Because we need to hear them. It makes a difference. God's a miracle in God. In my little lesson, she's going to be right back where she started. Because she's going to fill up all of these spots. You're going to have to sell them in order to pay off creditors. And then you're going to have a little left over. You know, I'll get confused about the left over if God can be that. Sometimes in old age, you may look like to one another, all I got is some left over. Life is gone. Life is pretty much over for me, but you know, God, just give me a step down your life. When you submit to the law, when all the dogs were full, he said to his son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. won't get over saying you're pretty. You won't get over saying you're yelling to it. Because you know that God has worked a miracle in your life. His gift. And I give you. Maybe you didn't shout this morning enough. I'm talking about before you got here. Let me give you something to think about. God's little miracles, they come through what? The little things that I have. Anybody who prays God for that? Or are you waiting on the big thing? Sometimes it comes through little people. I need this thing. Sometimes my neighbors, I won't talk to them and they won't talk to me because we haven't talked to them for many years. But today I'm going over and I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be a better neighbor than you that I've been. Those who know that might be the very worst that you need out of this. A little effort on my part, how many of you kind of your feet, if you're going to work in your system, whatever church you belong to, stand on your feet. If you say, I'm not going to settle on just being a pew sitter. The Lord, here I am. You lady, I want to be of service to you. I don't want to see my church grow. I don't want to see it be all that it can be. But I want to be used by you to help do it. This is the last, leftover. You know, I look at some of the folks here living alone. And you were here during a period when we first came. And you're still here. And I want to say, you are the leftover. That's right. You are the leftover. But you're not the leftover. God sees your work. God sees your prayer. God sees your praise. God sees your faith. God sees everything you have put into your life for Him. And I'm telling you, He has not forgotten you. Look for your miracle. Expect your miracle to come. I'm expecting a miracle. I believe in the one. Train lies, she does, really, really. I want to read that last part with you. I can see clearly that God is working miracles in my life, right? Yeah. When you give God a great big hand, the miracle hasn't come yet. The miracle hasn't happened yet. But I don't believe it's on the way. How many believe that's on the way? Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's amazing how many folk are from the old school. The husband takes care of everything. And then expects the wife not to know anything. And then they die. And then the woman doesn't know what to do. I just start to say, hey, me. But sometimes that happens. And I'm saying, if you're a man in the house, and you know so much, you make sure your bride knows just as much as you do. You make sure that she has just as much talent as you do. As far as the finances and other things, that if you were to be gone for the year, it would be worrying about what we want to do. As I leave the ministry, I'm going to ask our counselor to come. Here's the invitation this morning. We all know Jesus. We want to invite you. That's the first thing. You want to get that judgment. Because you need something living inside of you that only Jesus can give you. And that's the Holy Spirit. You get to live in God the Father through Jesus. Jesus said it himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what gender you are. I don't care. going to the church, I'm going to go. Who's that?